guitar.
No fear. No political correctness. No wokeism. You're listening to Underground USA.
Thanks for listening, downloading, sharing, and subscribing. My name is Frank Salvato. As a lead into today's America's Third Watch program, in which we discuss at length Chuck Schumer's shameful but full-throated endorsement of interfering in another sovereign nation's election, among other things, I wanted to play a clip that illustrates the intense and expansive gulf between the far left and the rest of society. Sky News host Rita Panahi, if you haven't watched her segments on the left, I promise it will be worth your time, presents a clip of a far leftist rattling off all of the democracy-killing and Hitleresque agenda items that Donald Trump will execute once he is reelected to office, which is looking increasingly likely. As you listen, keep in mind that this individual believes in its heart of hearts, and I am using its on purpose, that all of these things are bad things, that all of these things are horrible and wrong.
Let's end with a woke influencer who is seeking to scare the American people silly with what a second Trump term will look like. Here she details the sort of terrible policies Trump will implement if he's back in the White House.
First, he promises that he will carry out the largest domestic deportation operation in history. He will also ask for the death sentence for anyone convicted of human trafficking. He will close the Department of Education and return all education standards to the states to decide. He will put prayer back into school, and he will criminalize any race-based advantage programs.
So good so far. Is she trying to scare the public or make a pro-Trump campaign ad? It's hard to tell.
He will ban any federal dollars from going towards gender-affirming care, which means anyone with government-provided health care will no longer be able to access gender-affirming care except for Viagra and Cialis. Those will still be available. He will propose a constitutional amendment that gives a term limit to Congress. He will deploy the Department of Justice to investigate the Biden crime family and any of his adversaries or political rivals. He will immediately pardon all of the January 6thers, and he will create a task force to investigate anyone who arrested, charged, or imprisoned a January 6er. He will increase the penalties for underage criminal offenders, strengthen immunity for police officers, and deploy the National Guard to patrol woke cities. On day one, he will reassess our participation in NATO and says that every European country needs to pay the United States for protection.
Okay, now I'm thinking she's actually doing this on purpose. Just about everything she listed there, even with the added hyperbole, is hugely popular with much of the American people. And by the way, despite the misreporting you may have read, Trump forcing NATO partners to actually pay up strengthens NATO. That's a good thing. But let's go back to our woke TikToker.
He will kill all e-vehicles and e-vehicle legislation, seeking to replace that with the development of a flying car. He believes that we could create a car that vertically takes off.
Now, that just sounds awesome. You've convinced me, lady. Surely there's nothing else wonderful that you could tell me about a second Trump term.
He will remove all of the limits on American natural gas exports and drill, baby, drill for oil domestically. He will impose a tariff of up to 60% on Chinese imports. He will extend the 2017 tax cuts and drop the corporate tax rate from 21% to 15%.
Well, lady, don't threaten me with a good time. As a U.S. citizen, if half that stuff happens, I think I'm going to be moving back.
And he will take billions and billions of dollars from private university endowments by taxing, fining, and suing the universities. He specifically names Harvard in this one. And then he will use that money to create the American Academy. It is a free online college that will be free of wokeness that he will force employers to recognize as a bachelor's degree equivalent. So that's Agenda 47.
Okay, this is how the Republicans can save millions in the lead up to the presidential election. Just play that young lass's clip over and over again. It's the best campaign ad I've seen.
Call me a knuckle-dragging mouth breather, but I see nothing wrong with any of the points with which it is taking issue. Each is mired in common sense and forces individuals to take responsibility for their actions, and I especially agree with the point it takes issue with about the death penalty for human traffickers. But the larger point is this. A hot topic of conversation among many Americans is that we are facing the greatest divide since the end of the U.S. Civil War, and, many fear, we are on the precipice of a second U.S. Civil War. I suggest we have been in a serious and very real culture war for decades. Have we really arrived at a point in time when the gulf between the far left and the rest of the country finds the far left defending human traffickers and pedophiles? Demanding treasure from the government simply because they exist? End the Department of Education and re-empower the states to oversee education as intended? Absolutely. What's wrong with that? Supporting term limits? Who in their right mind doesn't? Force NATO members to actually pay their dues? The gall! You've heard me say this before, and I will say it until my dying day, God willing. The only reason we have far-left elected officials creating and passing these incredibly inane and societally destructive laws and regulations is that idiots like it vote like-minded idiots into office. We wouldn't have the AOCs or the Adam Schiffs or the Hank Johnsons. You remember him. He believes stationing Marines on Guam would literally cause the island to tip over. We wouldn't have these people in elected office if self-righteous, virtue-signaling, intellectually stunted dolts like it didn't vote for them. Long ago, the progressive neo-fascist left manipulated the American people into believing that conversing about politics and religion with friends and family was impolite, something that shouldn't be done. In reality, they used this shaming tactic to dupe everyone into refraining from discussing what the political class was doing, and through the prohibition on talking about religion, expunged discussion about what is right and what is wrong, morality and ethics, from the public square. In order to counter the incredible influence that the its have in the American and international public squares, we must resume having discussions about politics and religion. This doesn't mean we have to argue about it, but we must begin a civil discussion with all who have the intellectual capability to do so. Sadly, for many of the its out there, it is way too late. But it isn't too late for the Republic. It's just not going to be easy. When we come back, this morning's segment on America's Third Watch with Kyle Warren as broadcast on the Genesis and Salem Communications Network.
You're listening to Underground USA.
Handcrafted exotic blend teas at the lowest shipping cost anywhere. Hi, I'm CJ, owner of the Emerald Coast Tea Company. We ship our premium gourmet blends with Sendal, offering you the lowest shipping prices anywhere, while also being carbon neutral. Excellent tea at the right price. Check us out at www.emeraldcoastteacompany.com. Honey, this ain't your mom's tea.
American Airlines, rated the worst. Losing the most bags, shrinking legroom during COVID. American requires passengers to show ID to fly, but attacks Texas's popular voter ID law. Why is CEO Doug Parker trying to appease the radical left? To distract from billions in taxpayer bailouts, from his $10 million payday, from Americans' record layoffs. Doug Parker, American Airlines. Serve your customers, not woke politicians.
I always had to be so good, no one could ignore me. Carve my path with data and drive. But some people only see who I am on paper. The paper ceiling, the limitations from degree screens to stereotypes that are holding back over 70 million stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time for skills to speak for themselves. Find resources for breaking through barriers at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
News, insight, passion. AM 930, The Answer.
We've got Frank Salvato from undergroundusa.com, of course, also author of the book Nullification with us this morning. Good morning, Frank.
Mr. Kyle.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, it's been quite a week. There's no doubt about it. Lots of developments. But you know, Frank, one of the things that we saw earlier today was Senator Chuck Schumer somehow deciding, well, I'm sure he's doing this in cahoots with the White House for sure. That's my opinion. But going out to make sure we undermine the Netanyahu government in Israel. What do you think about that?
Well, it is disturbing on a very elevated level. Here you have the leader of the Senate actively trying to undermine the election process in a sovereign nation. They call that election interference here in the United States. And they railed against it in the last two elections that there was election interference. Election interference. We can't have election interference. We have to have free and fair elections where everybody has access to the ballots and everybody gets to vote and everybody's vote counts. And then this incredible hypocrite gets up there and makes a fascistic speech that is worthy of both Mussolini and Stalin, saying that we need to intervene in another sovereign nation's election process to set up a government that's more pleasing to us. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, so folks, if you hadn't heard what Schumer had said, he basically said that the world has changed since October 7th. The Israeli people are being stifled now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past. And I think talked about, you know, political ambitions are blinding Netanyahu and all this other kind of stuff, and basically calling for new elections. You said it so well, Frank, this is so disturbing on such an elevated level, because this is something that, you know, if we had people talking about our election, we would say, hey, stay out of our business, you know, but Chuck Schumer is just wading right in.
Chuck Schumer would be at the front of the line to complain about somebody saying something about our election process.
Yep.
He would be the first one saying, we're a sovereign nation and we have the right to make our own decisions at the ballot box. And who are you to say we have to restructure? I mean, when you listen to the speech, he went far beyond just saying calling for elections. He was saying you have to restructure the government, get rid of these people on the cabinet. You have to turn a page. What you have now is not working. And Bibi Netanyahu, he's definitely got to go. When did the leader of the U.S. Senate think it was okay to stump speech for an opponent to a sitting elected official in a sovereign nation? The arrogance of this guy is just blasting through the televisions and blasting through the radio speakers, and he doesn't seem to care. Even Mitch McConnell got up afterward and said he has never heard something so hypocritical on the floor of the Senate ever, and something so encroaching on another sovereign nation. That's Mitch McConnell.
Right, exactly. And, you know, Frank, I do think there's a lot of desperation, because this has been building up in terms of this White House and the Biden campaign and the Democrat Party elite as a whole. They are, I think, very desperate about how their support is eroding because of the, even if it's lip service to support Israel, they're getting, you know, outflanked by their left, basically, to say, look, you know, we're against what Israel's doing, and we're actually kind of pro Hamas, and you guys are going to lose our vote if you don't start getting much more harsh, shall we say.
This is not the subject for them to try to hang their hat on. An overwhelming majority, overwhelming, of the American people support Israel. An overwhelming number of people. These pro-Hamas protesters, these Gen Z and millennial people who couldn't think their way out of a soggy paper bag, because they never research anything all the way through to figure out what's fact and what's fiction, have drank the Kool-Aid that the Palestinian Liberation Organization has been feeding us for decades. They're a small number. They're not a big number. So whoever is advising him on his what camps to cater to for the election is really failing these people. I think it's an ideological bent from his handlers, because if you go back into the Obama administration, they were decidedly pro-Hamas and pro-Palestinian. So now we have proof positive that we could bring to a courtroom to prove that the Obama administration is still in office for a third term.
Oh man, I don't even want to think about that, to be honest. But yeah, it's now, can you imagine Biden being reelected and what the heck would happen to Israel at that point? This whole thing with TikTok, you know, is continuing to percolate. Where do you see this ending up? Do you, for example, Steve Mnuchin is trying to put together a group to try to buy it. You know, could be upwards of $100 million. But do you think this is going to end up in it actually being banned, or do you think there's going to be some separation between TikTok and ByteDance?
I think they'll force a separation, and it will become a U.S. held company. It's too commonly used. It's a product that people want. So how do you make a chicken salad out of chicken poop? You figure out how to keep it so people can use it without allowing the communist Chinese to data mine and influence. So I know there's a couple different groups who are trying to raise money. And if we're only looking at $100 million, Elon Musk has got to be really ticked.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no kidding. But I'll tell you what, though, I know that a lot of young people use TikTok, and of course, it's not allowed in government devices. But the Biden administration wasted no time in jumping on TikTok because, again, they thought it would be beneficial to them.
Yeah, well, that, you got to keep in mind that's a political campaign. It's not a government entity, so he's not breaking his own rule. That said, what people don't understand, that they're giving their information. Data is very valuable. People can figure out exactly who you are, what you do, and predict everything about you in the coming days, weeks, months, and years from the data they glean from what you do on social media.
Yeah.
The communist Chinese have figured out we need the data so that we can lead you down a garden path with what we post to get you to think the way we want you to think. And if they capture the next generation, and they're well on their way to doing it, because I don't see a lot of kids divesting themselves of the TikTok app.
Yeah.
You know, if they succeed, this country is over as you know it.
Well, you just said something that was really very significant, very chilling and scary, and that is telling people what to think, you know, and being able to craft it. In other words, they don't hold up a sign and say, okay, today we want you to hate your country, and today we want you to vote this way and all that. It's much more sophisticated than that, isn't it?
There's a perfect example. The propaganda machine from the Marxist left in the United States, starting back at the turn of the 20th century, made a considered effort not to call the country a constitutional republic, to call it a democracy.
Right.
And they kept calling it a democracy and kept calling it a democracy. And suddenly it became something that was firmly placed in the American lexicon. And you've got even elected officials calling it a democracy when it's a constitutional republic. You had iterations of names for Planned Parenthood when Margaret Sanger was still in control of that organization, when they were pushing eugenics. And they kept changing the name and changing the name and changing the name until it was something palatable for the people to hear. And where'd we come with Planned Parenthood from all the way back then? Now, abortion, which is the termination of a fetal life, is now women's reproductive health.
Yeah, and Kamala Harris made a big deal out of that, being the first vice president or president, evidently, to ever actually visit an abortion clinic. But she tried to make it sound like this was, you know, the greatest thing ever.
Well, and this is how that works. When you can be influenced with words, TikTok is a propaganda machine for the communist Chinese party. Bottom line, period, dot. So when you can start molding the way people say things, they know they've got you. Now we just start steering the preferred narrative, steering the preferred words to use, and pretty soon what your parents used to call something, you call something completely different. And now you start charging those phrases and words and titles with antagonism, and you create the divide. What did Mao do in the Cultural Revolution? He pitted the children against their parents and their families so that the state could become their parent, their alpha, and their omega. And if you don't think that's happening here in the United States under the tutelage of the Marxist left, and supercharged by an app like TikTok, and I'm not giving a pass to every other social media place. I'm not doing that. Our media is complicit in it. They're horrible. They're the worst. Remember, Joseph Goebbels said they learned how to do their propaganda from the New York Times and the American media.
Wow.
And our social media platforms, just as culpable, gleaning just as much data, but we're not feeding that data into a nation state foe that wants to see us erased.
Exactly. In fact, those terminologies you're talking about, that's why if you hear people say, I want to fight to preserve our constitutional republic, it's almost been reversed to sound like, okay, you're one of those. You're kind of a crazy, you know. But if you're fighting to preserve democracy, well, then you sound righteous at that point.
And that's how they did it. Think about it. Being literal and being correct and accurate by calling it a constitutional republic or even just a republic. Now you're one of those fringe people.
Right.
You're one of those incredible radicals. You probably cling to your guns and your Bible and you're probably nice to people too. You probably help old people across the street. You white supremacist bastard.
Exactly. Well, the time we have left here in this segment, we talked about this once before, but it's back in the news. Alec Baldwin is asking for this trial or this charge of manslaughter, I think, to be thrown out. What do you make of all this again? Because this has gone round and round and round. And what's your take on all this?
It's a little more complicated than just a mistake. The live rounds shouldn't have been on the set. Somebody has to be culpable for it. But he and his legal team would have been remiss if they didn't try to ask for the dismissal because of what happened before the adjudication before. So his legal team's crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's, and that's all you can ask for from your legal team. But somebody pulled the trigger, and somebody loaded the gun, and somebody's dead. So there's got to be a price to pay. Manslaughter, that seems to me to be getting off a little easy.
Yeah, well, the armorer, I think, was just convicted of involuntary manslaughter, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think it's premeditated. You can't go murder one. I don't even think you can go murder two. You know, but there was a loss of life here.
Yeah.
You know, so somebody has to pay a penalty for this, and they can't just be skating away.
Well, you know, Frank, there's so many different things that are happening, especially throughout this week, that it's really mind-boggling. I do want to ask you about some things maybe going on the border right now as well. But first, let's take a call. We've got Backgammon Bob giving us a call this morning. He's got a question and or a comment for you. Good morning, Backgammon Bob. You're on with Frank.
Good morning. I saw where Canadian law, endorsed by Trudeau government, could imprison people for life for speech crime. This is where fascism, liberalism is headed. And another thing is that Democratic can go around the Supreme Court, then they can nullify the Supreme Court if they can pack it or whatever. All right.
All right, good question. What do you think, Frank?
Yeah, it's disturbing up there. Now, obviously, Canada has a different set of rules than we do as far as their constitution. It's fairly similar, but it's got significant differences. But the idea that someone can be jailed for life for something they say, well, it's not a free country anymore then. When you lose freedom of speech, you lose freedom, period. And you know, we are seeing some of that happening here in the United States, little by little. It's usually in the arena of, we've got to figure out how to make sure that social media is safe for everybody. I don't want government making anything safe for me. If I don't like something on social media, I've got the intellect and the intestinal fortitude to say, well, I'm going to click off that.
Yeah, isn't that what liberals have told us for years? Oh, you don't like this program, turn the channel.
Yeah, turn it
off.
I've
always said that. Yeah.
So if I'm worried about kids on social media all of a sudden being influenced about something or being moved to take their parents' weapons and go shoot something up, that's a matter of horrendous parenting. It's not the medium that people are on for social media. If somebody's bullying somebody on social media, the bully has not been raised right. It becomes a parental issue. We've got a generation and a half, maybe two generations now, where people had kids and then decided, well, I know I like free range chicken. Maybe I'll have a free range child. you can't have that. Children need structure. Children need to understand boundaries, that there's consequences for actions. And there are repercussions for things they do that are bad. And when you're just going to say, well, here's a cell phone, honey, and you go ahead and you download TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and everything else, and, you know, make sure you stay safe. If that's your idea of parenting, then you suck.
No kidding. And you notice, too, Frank, there's a turnaround here as well, because the opposite of that is teaching your kids how to be discerning, right? How to be respectful of themselves, right? I'm not going to let this garbage into my eyes or my ears, that kind of thing. But by doing that, then the society, well, the liberal society will turn around and say, you're programming your child. As you mentioned, it's like, now, you know, you're not letting them be free range.
That's my prerogative as a parent.
Right.
If I want to raise my kid a certain way to be respectful to other adults and call them sir and ma'am, then that's what they're going to do. And no government entity is going to tell me, you know, you're being too rigid with your child. Butt out. It's not your purview. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes two good parents or one very dedicated parent.
Yep.
So don't give me this. We've gone so far down the path where people expect the government to take care of it. That's not the way this country was founded, and it's not the intent the framers had for who we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be free people that make our own decisions. Your right to punch ends where the tip of my nose begins. And people need to keep that in focus. We hear so many times. Today I was listening to on the break, there was something that was coming through on the commercials about incivility in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have more people not paying attention to somebody or not wanting to listen to that person. Tough. That's life.
Yeah.
There is nothing in the U.S. Constitution that guarantees you get to exist non-offended.
Well, you know, that's right.
And you know, doesn't mean you have to be a jerk. You know, you don't go around just being a jerk. But if you're raised correctly, you shouldn't be a jerk.
Well, exactly right. That's right. You know, in other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Are you doing religion?
Yeah.
Government says no.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. And basically, by making sure that you're not offended, that means somebody has to decide what is offensive and what you can say. And the day that they decide that your point of view is offensive, well, you're sunk now. There is no more making an argument for your position.
And this is the point that I've been making for years. Hate speech laws are unconstitutional. Hate crime laws are unconstitutional. Why? Because it takes someone to decide what hate is. And that means that definition is malleable. So we shouldn't have that. It was a hate crime. How do you know what was in his head? I don't care what he was saying. How do you know what was in his head? And who are you to decide what is hate and what is not? Are we going with mob rule on this? 51% says? Or do we have to have some rubric that is so complex that only a Supreme Court justice can understand it?
Well, you know, in some cases, like, for example, you could be charged with murder. You could also be charged with murder with special circumstances. For example, you laid in wait for someone, showing all this premeditation. But that is not the same thing that you're describing,
no.
The idea of a hate crime. In other words, so there can be gradations of how you could be charged, but you're right. Once you start going down that path, now you've got an entirely new set of esoteric aspects of these things.
Well, and we touched on it in a previous segment. You know, this is about control. We don't want you saying that. That's hate speech if you say that. You can't say that. Now we're going to make it a crime for you to say that because we don't want you to say that. Well, how does that mesh with free speech?
Right.
You know, no, there's this argument that you can't say fire in a crowded theater. Well, yes, you can. There's just consequences for it. But you still have the freedom to say it. You know,
well,
this is where understanding that there are repercussions for your actions comes in, that your parents should have taught you.
And
so
there's the breakdown. That's the breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so, parents can't do that or haven't done that,
well,
or
they,
for some reason, were kept from doing it.
Would much rather clap quietly on the sidelines at little Portnoy's soccer game and say they were a good parent because they attended the extracurricular activity. If that's your idea of parenting, again, you suck. It's nice to attend your kid's game, but when little Portnoy throws a temper tantrum on the field because he didn't get the ball enough, you've got to correct him.
That's right. Well, I have to say, right, spare the rod.
Yeah.
Spoil the child. That's right.
Well, let's get a bigger rod.
Yeah, but of course, what that means is correction. You're exactly right. That's you have to correct them so they know how to live in the world, how to be good people. That's the whole point.
It was just a kinder, gentler way to say it, Cal.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll tell you what, Frank, the time just flies by this morning. We appreciate you being here, of course. UndergroundUSA.com is the website. The book is Nullification. You can find that on Amazon, of course. And Frank, you have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday, my friend.
Stay low, my friend.
If you like the podcast, subscribe, leave a comment, rate it if your platform lets you. Be sure to head on over to UndergroundUSA.com to sign up for our Substack, which comes straight to you, circumventing the censors and the fact checkers, because we both know that they're worthless, and that's been proven over time. And be sure to pick up your copy of Nullification, the Case for Decentralizing the Federal Government, available in Kindle and paperback over at Amazon.com. You're listening to Underground USA. My name is Frank Salvato, and we will be back right after this.
This podcast is a production of the Compass Point Group.